Okay, please turn off your phones or set them on silent during the meeting. At this time, I'd like to call to order the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of January 8th, 2024. At this time, it is 6:16. And we will take a roll call. Is that?
Can do that.
Commissioner Tag is not here yet. Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Harris is here. Commissioner Ross?
Here.
Commissioner Moore?
Present.
Okay, and then we have Craig Myers, Jared Smith, Kim Chandler, and Lauren is our attorney today.
He's on Teams.
Okay, public comments and receipt of petitions at this time will be allowed to, anybody will be allowed to speak on any matter other than personal matters or matters under litigation for the length of time not to exceed 3 minutes. No council or board discussion or action may take place on a matter until such matter has been placed on agenda and posted in accordance to the law. Are there any public comments or receipts of petition at this time?
I do not have any, ma'am.
Okay. No. Staff, are there any reports or announcements to be heard?
Yes, just that last month's zoning case, the single family 6 to Old Town and mixed use rezoning was approved by City Council. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. And we have any consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of December 11th, 2023?
Move to approve.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All righty, we'll take roll. Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Oh. Let me comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was taking over your...
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Oh, yes, yes.
Commissioner Ross?
She wasn't here.
I wasn't here, so...
Excused.
And Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
All righty. Any discussion or actions of the following items? New business, non-action items?
Thank you. My name is Jared Smith. I'm the city planner for the city of Tomball. There are 5 plots on the agenda this evening. They're all minor plots. Because these are minor plots, they are non-action items that will be administratively approved by city staff. These plots, as well as any subsequent conditions for their approval, were included in your packets. If you have any questions or concerns or need any further discussion on these plots, I'm happy to present them individually. Otherwise, we'll move forward without discussion. Questions?
What are we doing with the Real Life Ministries?
Just consolidating. There's 3 tracks there, and it's being all
right there on that corner.
Into one. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other discussion? All righty. New business. In accordance with Tomball Municipal Code, should the commission recommend denial or any zoning change request, the commission shall approve reasons for to the applicant for the denial if requested by the applicant. So we have new business, consideration to approve ordinance amendment OAM 23-03, request by the City of Tomball to amend Chapter 50, Article 3, District Regulations, adding Section 50/75.1, Neighborhood Retail District, or NR, Zoning Classification and Subsequent District Standards. Modify Section 50-82 using the regulation charts, and modifying Section 50-112, off-street parking and loading requirements, adding regulations within the neighborhood retail district. We're also looking at modifying Section 50-113, landscape requirements, specify parking lot screening requirements, modify Section 50-115, screening, buffering, and fencing requirements, replacing subsection B1, screening of non-residential multifamily and manufactured mobile or home parks with the new land use buffering. Staff, can we have a presentation?
Yes, ma'am, and thank you. And I apologize, that's quite the, quite.
Quite a lot there.
Legal description. So this all is going to sound really familiar because it's the case that was presented last month, except for Ms. Ross, who was not here. So this will be fresh to you. But I'll go ahead and kind of give you the same spill. So over the past several months, the city has been approached by property owners and prospective developers requesting the rezoning of properties to allow non-residential developments. And these properties are often near existing or planned residential land uses or at the intersections of major thoroughfares. In many of those instances, these requests are in alignment with the goals and the objectives of our comprehensive plan and the future land use plan map. However, our existing non-residential zoning districts, those being general retail, commercial, and light industrial, often allow a wide range of uses that may be considered incompatible with nearby residential land uses or perhaps undesirable at certain key intersections of major thoroughfares. In those circumstances, the Planning and Zoning Commission, being you, and or City Council have approved downgrading the rezoning of those requests to office zoning. And although the office zoning district may be a suitable alternative for some of those requests, the office zoning designation often limits many developments and plan and land uses that would be beneficial in certain areas. Additionally, city staff believes that the office zoning district should be reserved for those parcels of land which are truly planned to accommodate primarily office uses. In efforts to create complete neighborhoods which can provide convenient access to necessary or desirable goods and services, as well as to better accommodate future requests for non-residential zoning near existing or planned residential land uses or at key intersections of our major thoroughfares. This ordinance amendment is proposing that we create a new non-residential zoning district, which is being referred to as neighborhood retail zoning. This ordinance will include subsequent development standards and land use standards for neighborhood retail, as outlined in detail within each of your staff reports that were provided prior to this meeting within your packets, as well as this ordinance amendment will address our current screening and land use buffering standards, again, to hopefully better integrate these non-residential zoning districts or land uses alongside existing residential uses or proposed residential uses, for that matter. So the intentions of this neighborhood retail district is to encourage neighborhood scale non-residential developments. It's to accommodate a limited range of retail trades or services, as well as office land uses, which are often needed to support and serve neighborhoods. It's also to serve as a transitional district, being a land use buffering between less intense residential zoning districts or land uses and more intense commercial zoning districts and land uses. Ideally, this zoning designation is perfectly suited for intersections of key major thoroughfares and or the entrances to residential subdivisions or multifamily developments. The goal here is we're trying to encourage livability and walkability within our neighborhoods, creating environments that will truly embrace the live, work, play mantra that the planning world has begun to try to encourage in cities. So the other piece of this ordinance amendment, as I kind of touched on, was we're looking at addressing our screening and land use buffering standards. So currently, these standards are really not much. We only require, when there's a non-residential land use next to a residential land use, a minimum 6-foot opaque fence or wall and a 10-foot vegetative buffer yard. So this ordinance amendment is looking at removing that and kind of beefing it up a bit. So instead of that, we would now be requiring a 7-foot opaque wooden fence with a 10-foot vegetative buffer yard, plus we give the developer options, 25 points based off of the point system that I have listed here. They have 4 different options, and the goal there is to get to 25 points. So if they put in an opaque masonry wall with a 6-foot minimum height in lieu of providing a wooden fence, that would get them 10 points, right, towards the 25. And then for each additional 5 feet of buffer yard, they would earn 5 additional points for a maximum of 10 points. And then the last two there are really aimed at getting trees planted. So right now, we don't require trees. This effectively would require trees in some form or fashion. Whether they're large trees or small trees is really up to the developer. So after from our last meeting, you guys really were kind of looking for additional information. So what we What we wanted to do was, we don't want to get too far into the weeds on this, because a lot of this information was provided in your packets, but we do want to kind of give you a high-level overview. So one of the things, one of the big things that we wanted to touch on is, this zoning district is to serve as a middle ground of sorts. So it's not quite general retail, and it's not, which is, you know, allows a wide range of uses, and it's not quite as restrictive as office zoning. So what I wanted to do was kind of hit some of the key land uses out of each of those, well, the key land uses and how they're treated in each of those districts, and how they would be treated in this district in accordance with this ordinance amendment. So I'll just kind of give you a moment to kind of peruse over that. What you'll come to find is, in some instances, we've become, well, obviously less strict than office, but certainly not as open as general retail. One of the biggest things to take away from this is, any sort of use that we kind of feel is a nuisance, or would be potentially a nuisance to residential land uses, not permitted by right. So for example, in general retail, automobile dealerships, automobile repairs, tire sales, car washes, quick lube services, tool and machinery rentals, those uses would not be allowed at all. Whereas other uses may be allowed, or other uses that would require a CUP in office are now going to be allowed by right in neighborhood retail. Again, we're trying to accommodate certain services and opportunities for nearby residences to really experience the gamut of life and achieve things that is necessary or desirable next to their neighborhood. So that would be like maybe a child daycare center would be allowed by right, a barber shop or a beauty salon would be allowed by right, a fitness center or a health club would be allowed, a dance, drama, or music school would be allowed, a pharmacy, eating establishments without drive-through services would be allowed, a grocery store, maybe even a general retail store. So yeah, like I said, just kind of want to give you a high-level overview of what we're trying to accomplish here. This is not by any means the extensive list. It is quite large. I just don't want to have to go through all of them. We can if you like. The other thing that you had asked for is kind of a few examples of where this might apply. And what I felt would be probably the most effective way to convey this is look at previous cases, right? Cases that you have considered. And maybe they were denied, or maybe they were downgraded from what they requested to office, which is what we've kind of seen as of late. So I've kind of created this, well, it's called a story map, and I'll try to go through this as quickly as I can. Just give it one moment here. So again, these are previous cases that have come in front of you at some point in the past. So we'll start here at the intersection of Medical Complex and South Cherry Street. So again, this is an intersection of two major thoroughfares. It's near existing single-family residential. I don't know if you can see my cursor. I hope you can. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a manufactured mobile home park immediately to the north, which is also a form of residential here in the city. So this would have been a good candidate for a neighborhood retail as opposed to general retail. The next one that we'll look at is going to be a recent rezoning case. This is at Rudel Drive in Bovinghausen and Quinn. This was a downgrade from commercial to office, which is fine. That was actually at the applicant's request. But neighborhood retail would also be suitable here, as we're nearby multifamily residential land uses, right? So we're looking at providing supportive services as well as single-family residential land uses. So this would be a suitable location for this zoning district as well. This next case was one of those cases that I've kind of touched on where the applicant came in wanting general retail. But for one reason or another, we've kind of determined, or the commission or city council determined that, well, that allows for a wide range of uses that we don't necessarily want here. So this would have been a good fit for potentially neighborhood retail. Again, we're at the intersection of a major arterial street in a planned collector road. I hope you can see that green dashed line. So this is an intersection, and we're near residential land uses. These are showing commercial, but this is a retirement community, an assisted living facility, and another retirement community. So providing them an opportunity for goods and services nearby, as well as providing hospital employees opportunities for goods and services nearby. So this would be a suitable location for this district. And then just down the road, Real Life Ministries, which was brought up during the planning portion of this presentation. They requested general retail, and ultimately that request was downgraded to office. But again, similar to the number one, which we spoke on at the start of this, We're at the intersection of two major thoroughfares. We're down the road from a single-family neighborhood as well as a manufactured home park. And then just further south is a whole host of new subdivisions, right? So we're trying to provide opportunities for business services that can arrange or can accommodate all these new homes that are coming. Not necessarily strip commercial development, but small neighborhood-scale developments. This example, I wanted to kind of just give you an idea of how else this might be used in the future. So this request was in alignment with our future land use plan, which calls for business park and industrial in this area. And number five was rezoned to light industrial, which is fine. I mean, it meets our future land use goals. But as this area transitions and changes to commercial, this neighborhood retail district would be fitting as an opportunity to enforce some level of transition. So I could conceivably see, you know, this parcel in between the light industrial and the existing residential possibly being a good suitor for neighborhood retail, a buffer of sorts, right? A transition from industrial uses to residential. We don't want industrial immediately next to residential, but we may want to step down. So that would be a good opportunity. Another case, which was recent, and Craig kind of gave me a bit of background on this. The applicants initially came forward for either commercial zoning or general retail. It was denied, and then they came back and saw office zoning, and it was approved. And now the developer has found tenants, right, who want to occupy this space for uses that really make sense, right? And most recently, a barber shop or a beauty salon went to locate here. So by it being office zoning, they were required to go spend $1,000 and go through this administrative process for us to put in a use that would submit or would support, excuse me, the nearby residences with the barber shop. It makes sense here. You're at the intersection of two major thoroughfares. This would be an ideal location for neighborhood. This one was just last month or the month before. This is the case on Holder Reef Boulevard, immediately south of CBS, half a block off Main Street. Our future land use plan calls for some level of commercial activity. They applied for general retail, and it was denied by city council. It was approved by this commission. But one of the things that could have taken place here, or could potentially take place here with neighborhood retail is we would enforce, again, that transition, similar to how that light industrial would flow, right? We have a major thoroughfare, we have a CVS, we have a contractor warehouse, and then we have a home here. So inevitably, this has the potential to be commercial. I see why they want to be commercial, except an automotive shop. But maybe we don't want to promote general retail, which allows another automotive shop, right? Or a convenience store or something along those lines. But neighborhood retail may be something that's a bit more less intense, but suitable for transitioning. This is a case that was approved in 2019. So again, we're at the intersection of two major thoroughfares, what I would consider a key intersection. It was rezoned to light industrial in accordance with our comprehensive plan. But this too would have been a good suitor for neighborhood retail, as we are immediately across the street from single family residences and at a key intersection point here. Next, I'll just kind of highlight a few of our PDs. So a lot of our single-family residential subdivisions will apply a base commercial zoning within their PD of general retail. It's our least intense commercial zoning district. But again, it still allows for convenience stores, gas stations, some automotive repair things that we may not want next to a residential subdivision. So these corners, 9 and this portion of 10, instead of being general retail, would be ideally suited for neighborhood retail. And then I have just a few more, so please bear with me. Woodleaf Reserve is another new subdivision, same general premise, right? They did a base zoning of general retail along Tice. A portion of this has been developed with a self-storage facility. There's a few, I think there's one additional truck that's not developed yet. But again, it being so close to these homes, it would be ideally suited for a zoning district that would primarily intended to develop uses that would benefit the homes, more so than general retail uses might. And the south end of that subdivision is the same thing. It's planned to be general retail. This is the entry to their subdivision. We probably don't want a repair shop, an automotive shop. We don't want a gas station probably, but you know, perhaps a a barber shop would work fine, or an apparel store, or maybe a bakery or a restaurant, something that a subdivision could benefit from. And then lastly, this is going to look really recent to you, a PD at Brown and 249. Again, we're at a key intersection of a freeway and a major arterial, as well as a collector. You probably recall this PD has a component, a multifamily component. So this neighborhood retail district could serve as that transition from this freeway towards the resident, the multifamily residential, and it would also serve as a little bit of a lighter intensity of land use when you're across the street from homes, right? These are single-family homes. So just a few things in retrospect to look back on where this zoning district probably would be ideally suited, just for your own kind of understanding of what we're trying to achieve here. And then I wanted to kind of just, again, touch on a few high notes. So the zoning district is most appropriate for, can you see this? I hope you can see this. Intersections of key major thoroughfares, primary entrances to residential subdivisions or multifamily developments, and transition areas between residential zoning districts and more intense commercial zoning districts. So as you're well aware of, every request for rezoning that comes forward to you, city staff refers to the future land use plan. And what is the future land use plan, and does that support this requested zoning? Well, we're not looking to rewrite the entire comprehensive plan right now, but we did want to identify a few categories and where this zoning district might fit. So those areas would be most appropriate, or the zoning would be most appropriate in neighborhood commercial future land use categories, corridor commercial future land use categories, as well as transitional residential future land use categories at key locations such as major intersections or where you have commercial starting to encroach on residential. So I want to just kind of provide you a quick overview of where those future land use categories currently exist throughout our city, so there are specific areas. Again, we're not wholly married to just these areas for neighborhood retail. There are other considerations that should be taken, but just wanted to kind of give you an idea of what those future land use, what future land use categories may support this zoning district. So a little bit more information from what was provided to you last time. I hope that that gives you a bit more understanding of what we're trying to achieve, and I'm happy to answer the questions. Thank you.
Nice job.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job.
Very good presentation.
And great job on not having the convenience stores as permitted. Hopefully some developers will start thinking outside of the box. To a different box.
What was the process like for going down here and deciding which ones are permitted and which ones require a conditional use permit in this district?
Okay, before we have discussion, we need to open with a motion to...
Well, you said you had questions. That was a question.
Well, I know, but technically we really do. So, would somebody make a motion to approve Ordinance Amendment OAM 23-03?
Motion to approve, ma'am.
I second.
Commissioner Anderson, is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Commissioner Harris. Okay. Discussion? Questions?
So what was the process like for deciding what was permitted, what was conditional use permitted?
Well, me and Craig's put a dartboard on the wall and threw darts at it, and we said,
Who got the red pen?
It was pain. It was painful. But yeah, it was what we did, and that's a great question. I'll kind of share that with you, is we went through the use chart one by one, and I'll just pull it up for you to see how it's kind of worked. Again, our goal was to create a land use that hits a middle ground between office and general retail. So we just looked at office and general retail, what's allowed there and what's allowed here, and then we just kind of methodically went through and said, does that make sense? Do I want this next to my house? Mm-hmm. Yes or no?
Right.
Is this going to benefit a neighborhood? Yes or no? Is there a potential nuisances because of the land use that we need to consider that we don't want there, or maybe there's an opportunity to put a CUP on certain uses that need additional consideration, right? So the short answer is, one by one, reading definitions, figuring out what they are, defining our code, and then how they're treated in office versus in general retail, and then deciding whether or not it was suitable to be a middle ground land use to add. Pretty fun.
Yeah, actually. I imagine it was pretty laborsome. So I see, like, you know, distinction between some retail stuff like the bakery with you know, it's permitted without a drive-through, and it says CUP if it has a drive-through. What kind of criteria are you looking for to grant a drive-through as a conditional use permit?
As far as condition, I think, at the end of the day, a conditional use permit provides additional opportunity for us to determine whether or not we feel it's suitable for a specific location, specific conditions that might be applicable to a drive-through, limitation on the number of drive-throughs, limitation on, you know, how, at the end of the day, when a CUP comes forward, they have to provide a graphic concept plan, what it's going to look like. So it gives us an opportunity to provide guidance on what the drive-through looks like, where it's oriented. You know, we've got cars stacking in front of the building, next to the street, or they stacking behind a building where it's hidden. Things like that is really what you probably would.
Case by case determination.
Yep.
And then on the, I've noticed there's a distinction between a permitting for a public golf course and conditional use permitting for a private golf course.
For those, I probably just looked at how office worked. I was like, this is how office treats it. We'll keep it the same. Yeah. The reality is, I don't know how much space we have for a golf course, but doesn't mean it's not going to happen. But
no,
that
I got it.
In those circumstances, we kind of defaulted to what is the more stringent zoning? How's the more stringent zoning treated?
There was like swimming clubs. I think there was a private and a public, but they both had the same, I think, permitting allowed, as opposed to. I'm just curious.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I had a question on the last map that you showed us. Is that just a draft at this point, or is that something that will be submitted along with this
year
ordinance?
This is our existing future land use map. I've just removed all the other land use categories except for the three that we believe are most suitable for providing recommendations for neighborhood retail. So
will this be added to the future land use map?
No, it already exists.
It already exists.
It's been out of it.
So if somebody bought some property that you would think would fit for general retail, they would still have to come to this committee for us to approve general retail?
The neighborhood retail.
The neighborhood retail.
The neighborhood retail.
Yeah.
We're creating a new zoning district that hopefully you will see more of.
Mm-hmm. So the neighborhood retail is already on the future land use map? No.
No. These are future land use categories which provide guidance on how city staff gives you recommendations during these meetings. So these are existing land use categories.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then my other question kind of goes back to Scott's. It was my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, that one of the goals of this district is to create pedestrian retail. So that, to me, that addresses the drive-throughs, why you might look at something conditional use on a drive-through.
Right, so the goal is, State of Texas is interesting. So the state of Texas kind of tied the city's hands in as far as how buildings are built, what materials they use. But this district has certain design standards in place to become, basically try to engage the street and avoid seas of parking lots. And yes, we're trying to create more of a pedestrian environment. We're not trying to prohibit automobiles by any sense. Mm-hmm. But we are trying to create a zoning district that encourages and promotes a more pedestrian-oriented commercial development. Yes.
In these areas, to me, that just makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
When we have a business come in that either, you know, like McDonald's, certain types of businesses always have a drive-through. Others ask, and then we add them. We do have a couple of businesses off Main Street that do have some very peculiar drive-throughs. And I know in the beginning when they first opened, we had several incidences around the areas where they were. So my question is, when we do a business and they ask for a drive-through, do we have actual criteria, because I couldn't find any, in when I looked, it's been a couple of years ago, when I looked in our ordinances. So, do we ask for a traffic pattern or anything like that from them, like we would if we were doing a large subdivision and we need to know you got an exit and an entrance?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the short answer is that if somebody wants to put a drive-through in, they provide a site plan to us, whether it's the initial site plan or a future site plan, an additional drive-through window or a menu or something along those lines. And they are required to provide us with the drive-through lane illustration, which direction the traffic's flowing. They're required to provide a minimum number of stacking spaces based off of the average vehicle size. And that is dependent on the type of drive-through business. Is it a drive-through cleaner versus a restaurant? Very two different demands, right? And then they're required to provide, vehicle escape lanes, which is basically a secondary lane. If I get stuck in a line of drive-through traffic and I realize I forgot my wallet, I'm not having to wait through a queue to get through it. So, yeah, there are specific design criteria for drive-throughs. Yes, ma'am?
So do we also get anything from, like, I know that in the past we've asked the fire department and the police department, what is the impact on the area, traffic, things like that? I mean, do y'all do that? Because I do know of a couple of drive-throughs in the area that have had some pretty significant impact on the neighborhoods.
So like a TIA, traffic impact analysis, that is really development dependent. Right, mm-hmm. We have a Chick-fil-A coming into town. Yeah, we're most likely. I don't want to speak for the city engineer because that's the individual asking for these things. Mm-hmm. But yes, they traditionally will ask for a TIA or Commissioner Ross had asked about a daycare generation.
Right.
Well, daycare is functional a lot like schools, so we view it a lot like that. And schools, we always ask for a TIA because schools have enormous fluxes of traffic. What does that look like? We don't want cars sticking out into the street. We want these cars to be able to queue on site. So yeah, it's all a part of the overall review of each site's development. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I got one more question for you. So going back in time just a little bit, there was a case on James Street where four lots were attempting to rezone from residential to something, I don't remember exactly, I think it was office maybe, or retail.
Old Town Mixed Use.
Yeah,
Across from the administration office.
Would this category make it easier for that type of situation?
Mm-mm. No, I don't believe so. No. So again, and that's part of the reason why I wanted to really kind of nail down what is a criteria for this. Well, we want you at a major intersection with which those properties are not. Mm-hmm. At the intersections of entrances to subdivisions, which they are also not. And then again, what was the other thing? A transitional zoning district. Gotcha. So it could potentially be viewed as that, but not necessarily, because it's just a government facility across the road. It's local government's administrative office building. So at the end of the day, all those cases, even if somebody requested it would still come in front of this commission. It'd be up to you to decide.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I got no questions. I'm out of questions.
So in the local government code, do they have anything about this type of thing? About transitioning down?
No.
Because they have so many regulations in there that apply, to planning and zoning and everything that we do. And as soon as we do something, I just don't want anybody to pop up and say, oh, did y'all read this one? Number 102.D or something.
It's just a planning practice to do that.
Right, yeah. It's a general planning practice. It's the local government code we have come to find is, for the most part, when it comes to zoning, they do leave it up to the city to enforce its zoning regulations.
No,
they don't really meddle too much into that.
This does not, in my view, violate any provisions of the local government code. Now, that doesn't mean that we'll change the next one, so that's what it's happening.
Not currently.
I didn't understand the thing you said.
It doesn't violate any local government code.
Okay, all right. No, I didn't think it violated it. I just wanted to know if it had any. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions or anything? Okay. Would you please call the roll, Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Excuse me. Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tagg.
Is aye.
Pardon?
I said aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Who said that?
Me.
Thank you, Commissioner Ross. Would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Ross.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tag.
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn carries unanimously.
The meeting is now adjourned and the time is 6:52 p.m.
Thank you all for letting me attend.